You for this morning. I thank you that as your word goes out, that it's powerful. And it's powerful, Lord, because you have anointed it, and that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all we say and all we do here this morning, the name of Jesus is lifted up. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start off this morning with a special reminder. Very important reminder, and I think this reminder is probably more for the men. Are you listening? You're all ears. I check this. Friday is Valentine's Day. Okay. Now, don't say I didn't warn you. Don't say I didn't remind you. Because if you forget Friday as a guy... Well, us guys, Grisha said ladies forget. Us guys are, you know, we can handle it. You know, when ladies forget Valentine's Day, we're able to handle it. But when guys forget Valentine's Day, I'm telling you, there is big trouble. So be mindful of that. Well, I'm going to be speaking about that today, that very thing. In fact, I've titled today's message, How to Celebrate Valentine's Day as a Believer. Okay, we need to get a perspective on what this is all about. And I thought, how do we do this? So, this is a very good idea, I think, where I'm going to tell the Valentine story, because most of us don't know the Valentine story, right? But we're going to see what the Word actually says about all of this. So, am I right in saying that Valentine's Day, I believe, is all about love? And the lady said, yes, it's all about love. And romance, well, I don't know about that, but I know it's all about love. Okay, so let's see what the Bible says about love, for starters. In actual fact, there's a love chapter, and it is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You want to know what love is all about, go and read 1 Corinthians 13. That is a portion of Scripture that most people or pastors will use at a wedding. As we have the bride and groom standing in front of us, we can't wait to get 1 Corinthians 13 out. Start to read what love is all about. And verse 8 of that and verse 13, I want to read to us this morning. It says in verse 8, love never ends. Another translation says love never fails. Love never fails. Verse 13 says, now this is interesting. It says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. We know faith is important, especially for us as believers. The Bible says that without faith, we cannot please God. Firstly, the Bible says that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. But it says, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Is love. So, have you ever wondered where this thing of Valentine's Day all comes from? What is Valentine's Day all about? What is the history of Valentine's Day? And I must say, until I actually found out, you know, got into it and started just reading up a little bit about what it's all about, I was probably a bit negative, okay, about this Valentine's thing, what it's all about. But I want to read us the story of Valentine. How many of us know where it comes from? One of us. Two of us. Well, if I hadn't read it, it would have been just the two of us. Okay, but now there's three of us, because I also know something about Valentine's Day. So I'm going to try to weave in the story of Valentine's Day in this message this morning. So here it goes. So here's the story. Okay, this is the reason why this, what we call Valentine's Day, is kind of celebrated. It's So here it goes. Approximately 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a priest by the name of Valentine. He was a priest, all right? He was a man of God, this guy. He was a priest by the name of Valentine, and he lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius, who was committed to rebuilding the once great Roman army. The Roman army was a powerful force prior to that. And it seems that the wheels of this Roman army had actually come off. Wasn't that such a great army anymore? So this Emperor Claudius, he had a plan. He wanted to rebuild this army. However, he believed it was important for men to volunteer for armed service rather than drafting men into service against their will, which is cool, right? I was drafted in. I know what it's like to be drafted in, where your body is in a place. And that's about all that's there, right? So, you know, maybe his thinking was right. He didn't want to draft these guys into this army. He wanted them to volunteer. But, given a choice, most of the young men in the Roman Empire refused to serve. Why? They would rather stay at home with their wives and children than go off into some battle. Does that make sense? Right. Claudius, this dude, came to believe that only single men would volunteer for service. Just single guys. Those would be the only ones that... So he issued a royal edict that banned all future marriages. Yeah. Banned all future marriages. Folks, we need to look at this. Marriage is something that God has put in place. Marriage is ordained by God. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Right? And it is ordained by God. This is the way God does things. God is pro-marriage. God is pro the marriage vows that we actually take. So he bans all future marriages. He actually outlawed weddings in the Roman Empire, earning himself the nickname of Claudius the Cruel. So that's his name, Claudius the Cruel. Valentine, this priest, he thought this is ridiculous. He thought this was ridiculous. One of his favorite duties as a priest was to marry people. So after the Emperor Claudius, he passed this law, Valentine secretly continued to perform marriage ceremonies. He did what he believed God, he was doing the right thing. He was not prepared to have, you know, this emperor start shouting the odds and saying, well, no more marriage. He said, I'm going to continue. Remember, well, let me read. I don't know if I've read this yet. So he continued performing marriage ceremonies. He would whisper the words in the ceremony while actually listening for the soldiers outside to hear if any of them were coming. So this guy, there's no more weddings. You know, that means no more family. If we apply God's principles. I'll read more about the story of Valentine as we continue here this morning. Okay. But this brings me to my first point here this morning. How Christians should celebrate what we call Valentine's Day. Stand up for the truth. We need to stand up for the truth and proclaim the gospel of God's love. We need to be doing that. We need to be standing up. We need to be putting up our hands. We need to not be... You know, folks, when there's a culture, there's nothing wrong with us having a culture. There's different cultures all around the world. But where culture conflicts with the Word of God, let me say this, that culture's knee bows to the Word. Not the Word of God bowing to culture. This is the way it should be. So we need to be those that actually stand up. And in actual fact, David, King David, when he wrote Psalm, it was Psalm 40 verse 9. I want to read a couple of verses out of it. Psalm 40, verse 9. He says, I will announce the good news of righteousness among the assemblies for worship. David said, I will speak it out. I will The good news. What is the good news? The good news is the gospel. David says he will speak it out. He says, I will not close my lips. You know that, O Lord. He says, he's speaking to God as he writes. You know that, O Lord. I have not buried your righteousness deep in my heart. I have been outspoken. David said, I've been outspoken. And I want to say, as believers in Jesus, we need to be those who speak out. We need to be those who actually proclaim the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to be speaking this out. I have been outspoken about your faithfulness, God. He said, about the Lord's faithfulness. And not only his faithfulness, I have been outspoken about your salvation. This is what we are called to today as well, folks. We've got a job to do, all of us here, right? We need to get the gospel out. We need to get the good news out. And it's a responsibility of each one of us. And he went on to say, I have not hidden your mercy and your truth from those assembled for worship. So when people would gather together to worship the Lord, David would speak these things out, encouraging them. He would not hold back. Folks, I want to say, sometimes it's dangerous to stand up against things. Sometimes it's dangerous to stand up against hatred. It's dangerous to stand up against injustice. It's dangerous to stand up against corruption. It's dangerous to stand up against any form of prejudice. It's dangerous to stand up. And sometimes it is really, really difficult to oppose the world system. You know, what is the world system? This world system, it's all about just moving further and further away from the truth of the gospel. That is the world. That is the world system that's out there. When we look at the Word, that is how we should be living out our lives. But this world and this world system is just moving further and further away. And I'm saying it's getting worse. It's worse today than it was 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, you know, 5 years' time is going to be a lot worse than it is right now. That's just the way it is. And sometimes it is difficult to proclaim the truth about love and about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this is what this guy Valentine did. Put yourself in that situation where suddenly this leader outlaws marriage. He said, no way. No way. This is what he did. And let me say, this is what we should be doing as well. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8, it says, the message about the cross is nonsense to those who are being destroyed. The gospel message is a load of nonsense, the Bible said, to people who do not, who, in fact, people who are destined to hell, to go to hell. It's nonsense to them. You know what it's like. You work with some of those people. As soon as you open your mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you can just see the lights that go out right there. Because why? It says the message about the cross is nonsense to those who are being destroyed. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. All right. It goes on to say, but it is God's power to us who are being saved. The power of God. God's power to us. This gospel message. So folks, I want to tell us that we can expect some, how can I say, opposition from unsaved people. Don't be surprised when you get opposition. Don't be surprised out there. Why? We just read it. Our message, the message of the gospel, the good news, we read it right there, is foolishness to them. It's foolishness. It's like they've got scales over their eyes and they've got too much wax in their ears or I don't know what, but they just don't get it. They don't get it. So it's not always going to be easy for you and I to actually stand up for Jesus. It's not going to be easy for us to stand up for the King. It's not going to be easy for us to stand up for His kingdom. But this does not give us now the excuse to actually remain silent. Not going to be easy, But it doesn't give us an excuse to remain silent. Folks, I say it every week. I want to say it every week. Our job, as soon as those doors are open, we go downstairs, we are entering into our mission field. And we are soldiers in the army of God. And it's up to us, wherever we are, wherever we spend our days, that is where the Lord has put us. And we need to make sure that we are effective in our sphere of influence, wherever that might be. And as those doors open, we're all leaving here today, we are entering into our mission field. And we better make sure that we are good soldiers for the King, right? And also, don't forget that you and I have the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Romans 1 verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The problem is there are too many Christians that are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Believers. I see it. Man, I tell you, I'm not a big, social media person. But folks, you'll see Christians where they feel, okay, I kind of go to church, and they will put stuff up like continually on Christian platforms. You go and have a look at some of their Facebook pages that are open to everybody. You don't see anything Christian. Why? Because they're ashamed of the gospel. You know, it's like we're little chameleons. We in the Christian group, like, you know, we look like a Christian. No, serious. Yeah, then we another group, and then we look like them. But there's a word for it. Hypocrite. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This good news, and that's what the gospel is, this good news is all about love. It really is about love. The love of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall receive salvation." And Paul actually explains how this boldness, we need boldness, but Paul explains to us how this boldness to proclaim the good news actually comes to us. How do we receive this boldness? Romans 5:5 tells us, I'll read it. Romans 5:5. "We are not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That is how we get it. Because God's love, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that the agape love of God is actually poured into the believer. Agape love, that God kind of love poured into us. So, we should be those who are actually willing to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people out there about the love of God. But folks, here we go. We need to make sure that we do this properly. Right? We do it properly. Never ever try to ram the gospel down people's throats. Don't do it. Right? Jesus said in John 3:17, "God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world." Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But unfortunately, many, many Christians think that they are doing the right thing. They think that they are doing the right thing by shaking a judgmental finger at those people who are not saved. Think they're doing the right thing. I want to say, when we take this approach to telling people about Jesus, we chase them away. They might have been just ready, you know, in 6 months' time to receive salvation. And we come in, you know, shaking this judgmental finger at people, and they land up by, it's another 5 or 10 years before they get born again. So I want to say to us, let's not do this. Don't do this. Don't hit people over the head with a bunch of Bible verses. That's not the way we do it. Don't shout at them. Don't tell them. Don't tell them, okay, you're going to hell, but you're going to hell, right? Where we're preaching these hell and brimstone messages, you know, either putting fear into people or chasing them away. One of the two. We do what the Bible says, and the Bible says we speak the truth in love. That's what it says. Speak the truth. It doesn't mean that we don't tell the truth, but it's how we do it. We speak the truth in love. Folks, the gospel is a message of love, and if ever you try to define God, it would be that God is love. God so loved the world. Who's the world? You and I were the world until we got born again. We're not the world anymore. But God so loved the world. God so loved unbelievers. That's the world. That's the world. Those people who do not know Him. That is the world. Jesus loved them so much, the world, that He was willing to die for them. If people that we minister to, if they do not see the love of God in you and the love of God in me, you will never ever be able to convince them, because we are giving a different message, right? Because we speak about the love of God, and when we start to wave the finger at them, folks, this is not demonstrating the love of God, okay? We need to demonstrate it. We need to show people by the love that is on the inside of us. Let's get back to our story of Valentine. Okay. Let's carry on with Valentine. One night. Oh, now I'm becoming a storyteller. Get the actions. One night. One night, Valentine did hear footsteps at the door. The couple that he was marrying escaped. But he was caught, and he was thrown into jail and sentenced to death. He was sentenced to death because he was marrying people. Those that God wants to have a covenant relationship with each other. Sentenced to death. But more about Valentine just now. Okay, right. But that brings me to the second point here this morning. How Christians should celebrate Valentine's Day. Die to self for the sake of other people. This demonstrates love. Now, John 15, verse 13. John 15, 13. It says, the greatest love that you can show, the greatest love that I can show, is to give your life for your friends. Folks, If this story is correct, this is what Valentine actually did. He stood there, that last marriage, last wedding he was doing, right? That couple got away. He stood there and he faced the music. This is exactly what he said. So, the greatest love that you can show is to give your life for your friends. And it's quite interesting when you do premarital counseling, you sit down with these couples and you talk to them, and you know, Christian speaks to them, and I speak to them, and it's so exciting, and all, you know, and all the issues that they've got, and how to somehow help them with their issues. But one thing, if you have to say to them, or one thing that they will say without any hesitation, oh, I'm just, you know, love this person, I would die for them. I would die for them. Okay? Interesting, isn't it? We may never, ever be in a place where we actually have to give our life for another person, but every single day, we can take an opportunity to die to self in a way that really pleases the Lord. Die to self. That's what we need to do. That means when we die to self, it means other people actually become more important. And there, especially with relationships, husband and wife, right? We all have these challenges, don't we, darling? But it's a journey. We're all on the journey. Don't look at me as if you guys don't have these challenges. Dying to self. Sometimes it's my world. I just want my world. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. Okay? 1 John 3:16 says, we understand what love is. Here it is. When we realize that Christ gave His life for us. That's how we understand what love is. That Christ gave his life for us. That is a demonstration of love. And that means, goes on to say, that means we must give our lives for other believers. You go and read it. That's what it says. Giving our lives for other believers. Let me say this. You may not physically choose to give your life or to die for another believer. But again, what we can do is we sacrifice our wants, we sacrifice our desires, we sacrifice our needs for other people. Right? Not my will, but other people's will as well. And this is actually placing another person's feelings above our own. Something, it's a good thing to do. Right? Maybe try this on Valentine's Day. You know, sacrifice your desires, your wants, for that one that you love so much. Isn't that a good idea? Right. Let's get back to the Valentine story. Saint Valentine tried to stay cheerful. Now we say Saint Valentine. We know, I know I've spoken about this, but let's just get it right. Saint. This is I know in many denominations it's a title. Right? This is not what the Bible teaches. You and I become a saint when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are saints here today. So I can say, Saint Rod. It's true. Hey, Saint Denny. Sounds nice when I talk about Saint Rod, hey, Saint Denny. What do you think about that, Saint Jamal? Saint Jamal, that sounds like a location. Saint Jamal, where are you going? I'm going to Saint Jamal. Sounds great. Like a tropical island somewhere. Right, so Saint Valentine, basically his name is Valentine and he's born again. So they call him Saint Valentine. He tried to stay cheerful. He tried to stay cheerful. When you've got the death sentence, I would imagine it's not easy to stay cheerful. Right. But Saint Valentine tried to stay cheerful. Many of the young couples that he had married came to visit him in jail. And they threw flowers and notes up to his window where he was in jail. They wanted him to know that they too believed in love. And one day he received a visit from the daughter of one of the prison guards. Her father allowed her to visit him in his cell, and they often sat and they talked for hours. She believed, this girl believed, that he had done the right thing by ignoring the emperor and continuing doing marriage ceremonies. That he ignored the emperor and was doing these God-ordained things, marrying a husband and a wife, making them husband and wife, okay, that there's a covenant between two people, a marriage covenant. That's what Valentine did. Let's move to the next point. We'll finish off with Valentine now. Third point. How Christians should celebrate Valentine's Day. Give your life totally to Jesus, folks. Now, totally to Jesus. You know what Jesus says about lukewarm believers? We give our lives to Him, but many, unfortunately, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we give our lives and then we just become lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. But if you are lukewarm, some translations use the word vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Right? Others try to make it sound more dignified. I will spew you. It sounds better. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Okay. Lukewarm Christianity. Valentine, when we read the story, if this is true, as I say, we read the story, we see that he actually stood up and he gave his life for what he believed in. Right there. We need to, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, so we claim to believe in Jesus. So now we are saved. We've received salvation. You know, if we are born again. But folks, we need to be asking ourselves a question. Are we loving God's people? Are we loving God's people? God so, lots of O's there, so loved the world. Are we demonstrating the love of God to His people? In 1 John 4, verse 8. Anyone that does not love does not know God, because God is love. So people that are born again that do not love, what John is saying, he says that, well, if that's you, you don't know God. Of course, none of us here, but you know, I mean, all those other churches, those guys. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. So, if He is truly in us, and we are truly in Him, then we're going to walk in this love that He's speaking about. Because the objective of any believer is to become more and more like Jesus. In other words, when people see you, when they see you, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if we have actually given our lives to Jesus, we are born again, right? We've done all of that. The Bible speaks about this. You know what we become? The Bible says we become a new creature. We become a new creation. And why? It's because God the Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of us. And folks, when we get born again, that kind of the history of our lives, it's a clean slate. We get born again as a child of God. We don't have to worry about all that's gone past. We are a new creature, a new creation. I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, you become a new person. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It says, the old has passed away. All that other stuff from the past. Old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Got God living on the inside of us. So, true born again believer, what do we want to do? We just want to please the Lord. Is that true? As a born again believer, do you want to please the Lord? How do we do this? How do we, as born again believers, how do we please the Lord? Well, I'll tell you how we do it. It tells us in 1 John 5, verse 3. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You want to show people that you are a child of God. You keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, the Bible says. It's not difficult to keep His commandments. What are the commandments that John is speaking about here? What are the commandments that we should be keeping? We see in 1 John 3 verse 23. Tells us. And this is His commandment. That we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. And love one another, just as He has commanded us. Just as He has commanded us. So, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that He came, you know, to planet Earth. We believe that He died on that cross. There was a death, there was a burial, there was a resurrection, and ultimately there was an ascension. And also we believe that we should love one another with that agape kind of love, right? You know what agape love is? Sacrificial. That sacrificial kind of love. Let's start that one in terms of the commandments. Maybe we should start that, now, today. That we start to demonstrate this type of love to other people. Finally, our story. Oh, maybe we should call it a day. Now, I'm sure you want to know what happened to you. Okay. Do you want to know what happened to you, Valentine? Okay. One day, on the day Valentine was to die, remember, because he was marrying people, they're killing him. They're going to take him out. So on the day that Valentine was to die, he left her. Now here it's talking about the prison guard's daughter. That girl, or woman, I don't know. He left her a note thanking her for the friendship and loyalty. And he signed that note, "Love from your Valentine." Love from your Valentine. And that note started a custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. It was written on the day that he died, which was the 14th of February, 269 AD. A day that was set aside in honor of a man who gave his life to God and for love, both of those. So he was a believer, and also he wanted to continue. They killed him. I don't know how they killed him, but they killed him because he stood up for what God had actually said in his word when it came to this issue of marriage, right? Man who gave up his life to God and for love. Now, every year on this day, people remember Saint Valentine. But more importantly, they think about love. That's why I asked the question when I started. We all know about Valentine's Day. We all know it's about love. But none of us know who this dude was. Well, that's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he was, I should say. Okay? So God loved us enough to die for us. Saint Valentine, if you go into history, he loved God enough to die for God's truth about love and marriage and covenant and all of those things. So let this 14th of February, there we go, Friday, let's make a decision to start loving people the way the Lord wants us. Let's love them in a way that God would truly want us to love them. Do you remember Jesus' first two commandments? Both of them about love. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And the second commandment is similar. Like, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed your history lesson. I felt more comfortable about Valentine's Day after reading the history. We got a song.